Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hey, everybody. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the funny website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa, Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Susanna, well, it's spring. Spring is upon us.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. I will say that the April showers bring May flowers, and they also bring seasonal depression.
Yes, they do.
Absolutely. It has been 2 weeks of rain, and I'm telling you, this work from home mom business is really for the birds, because I can't get any work done when I have a toddler who can't go outside and expend energy. I mean, at the very least, I have a deck that does not go down to a main level, so I'm safe just putting her out there, and she loves the deck. She loves to play outside. And it's been raining. The other day I had an important phone call with my agent, and she wanted to go outside, and I let her go outside. It was probably like 45 degrees, drizzling.
Gross.
She took her pants off, so she was just in her diaper. Okay.
So
you can see how this is going. I let her because she was having a blast. Apparently the weather was not bugging her at all. Mm-hmm. She was having the greatest time. So I was just like, whatever, she's happy. This is an important phone call. Then I hear her like talking when she can't really talk. It's just words and small phrases. But when it's super articulate, that means she's talking to somebody. And it was my neighbor who was talking to her. I was like, oh, good. My neighbor's out in the cold drizzle seeing my daughter half naked outside, totally judging me right now. Let's just be honest.
She had the Department of Health Services on her phone.
I know.
Yes, I'm looking at the child right now. No pants.
Exactly.
Anna Thomas.
I'm just going to wait out here until you guys arrive, because I don't know where the hell the mother is. She's probably inside taking a nap. This is just outrageous. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Then I brought her back in, put her pants back on, put her by the fire, and my phone call was a success. So we're doing what we just got to survive out there. It is one benefit of living kind of in the country, though, is that people are pretty relaxed. You know, I feel like this is not the first time she saw a kid running around without their pants on with no parent in sight. So, you know, I'm sure it's all right.
You're not the first.
I'm not the first. Yeah. So we're a little cooped up. I'm ready. Today is about 60 degrees, and I just gave the girls a huge walk, and I'm feeling a little bit better about things. But I was just telling you before we started the show that from our last verse in Proverbs, when you're in the house and it is it's easy to go negative with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure it is.
This sucks. I'm bored. There has to be more to life than this. I don't know how people live in parts of the world that are hard
It's cabin. I get that. I get that in the winter. I totally get that seasonal depression, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's probably, I love having all four seasons, but then you kind of figure out why people, like in California, I mean, I live there and I remember missing a winter. And I remember coming home for the holidays and being like, this is what it's all about. But once it hits March, you're like, you know what? I want to go outside. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you've been busy. You had a birthday party.
Yeah, we had a birthday party and we had lovely weather for that. We had a beautiful birthday
for the boy.
The rain cleared out and it was nice and warm. And we went to see this debacle known as Boss Baby. Oh,
was that
so
good?
Bad?
It was
so
bad.
my apologies to the Boss Baby people, but sucked.
I don't even know. I've seen like a preview of it, or I've seen that there's a movie like that exists, but I don't know anything about it. Who's in it?
It's really confusing. It makes no sense. I mean, the parts that I saw when I wasn't sleeping. Alec Baldwin is a baby that wears a suit and bosses everybody around. So he's like an executive baby. And where did the baby come from? Mm-hmm. I mean, did the mother have a baby born in a suit that could talk and she didn't ask any questions?
So there's no origin to how this came to be?
No, it left me with many unanswered questions. So I just said, you know what? I'm not investing my time in this. I'm going to take a nap.
Does he have a mother?
Well, this woman. Show? Yes, but she's not his real mother. Like, he is a management baby.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. The kids laughed and enjoyed it because the baby poots a lot and there's some potty humor, like literal potty humor. So they thought that was funny, but Rotten Tomatoes score of 1.
let me tell you something. I'm just going to write a child's book about farts. And I know that some exist, but it's just going to be a fart book and I'm going to cash that check.
It would blow up.
I'm just going to just.
That's a really great idea.
Hey, what's going on? Poot. It's just a bunch of farts, poots, toots.
You could talk about different farts.
Oh, yeah. They'd love it. Name the different farts like a silly name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'd love it.
That's really genius, Anna. You should probably edit that out before somebody steals that idea.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go under an alias called Tootie McTooterson.
Bam.
Bam.
I like it. Tootie McTooterson.
I'm on my way to the Lexus dealership as we speak.
You are. And the big book of farts.
Big book of farts, exactly.
You could have some kind of scratch and sniff kind of thing.
Exactly. Too. Yes. And it's like, it's either going to smell really good or it's going to smell like a fart, like the jelly beans.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I'd like in on this. Let's talk.
Okay. I was just going to say something else that was really good. What was it about? It was about, we just talked about a book about farts. Oh crap. I've lost it. Don't you hate it when you've got something really good and then it just vanishes out of your brain forever?
Story of my life, every day.
So I hate
you. Recovered it quickly, though.
This was actually something different because the other one was related to the book of farts. But okay. This next one, can I just tell you, are you watching Walking Dead or have you abandoned it?
Oh, Anna, I have so. Did you watch it Sunday?
We didn't watch it on Sunday. Rob had homework, so we watched it last night, and we couldn't figure out if it was the last episode or not because we watch it through the AMC app on Apple TV, so you don't get a lot of previews. So we were like, is this the last one? I let me tell you something. Do they want to lose me? Because they are on the cusp. This better freaking wrap up real quick.
So what you're saying is you have not seen the season finale.
Was that the season finale that I watched?
Sunday. This past Sunday. Was it an hour and a half long?
The one with Sasha?
Yeah.
No.
Well, now Sasha was in the one before as well.
Okay,
so.
Sasha in a casket.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You got to wait till October.
No, then they've lost me. They can go screw themselves. Because Rob and I saw that ourselves. See, this is a Bible study that goes off the rails. Listen, I'm passionate. Rob and I watched it last night, and I was like, so this isn't over and I have to wait until I'm 37 for this. Yeah. You know, I'm 35 now, so I'll be about 37. Lucy will be in kindergarten by the time the new season comes out. And
did you watch it after we spoke last night for the last time?
Yeah. Wait. Okay. When we texted last night, you mean?
Yeah.
We watched it right before bed.
Okay. Well, because we were watching at the same time then.
Okay, so we were both
threw the remote and muttered expletives and went to sleep. Mad. Just mad about it.
How dare you waste my time with Morgan's character development? How dare you? Like, his character development is so useless to me.
It is. It's,
I mean...
He's in edit. He should be edited out.
He should have been on the cutting room floor. Who cares about him and his stupid stick?
All he does with his stick is just look at people and nod. That's all he does. Or shake his head. He either shakes his head or nods.
He's taking himself way too seriously. Everybody has to murder now. Get used to it.
Get over it, Morgan. Get over it.
Now that he's murdering, though, again, now his demeanor is changing. And it's like, can you get over yourself? You're about to, like, be in the most gory war of your lives. So then yeah. when that Ezekiel, like, can we cut the talk now? I mean, that's over. And then giving him a pep talk. And I looked over to Rob and I said, I am so sick of Morgan's character development. He has had entire episodes dedicated to him and they are boring.
They're quiet. Like I said, it's just him looking at things and nodding.
I know.
He's had like three lines the whole season.
Oh, you know? I tell you,
and I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't seen it, but did you like that tiger action?
First of all, Rob was like, how does the tiger know who's a good guy and a bad guy? And I go,
how do any of them know? None of them had on name tags.
I always feel that way whenever there's a big like war. Who do you know is who, unless you're wearing a bright blue, like in the old days, back in the Civil War, where one side's wearing red and the other side's wearing blue. How do you know?
Wait, it's blue and gray, Anna. I don't know what revolution you're talking about, but Civil War is blue and gray. Because you know, this is true. Do you know what the
wasn't England the red? North? Wait, what about England? We went again. Okay, that's where. Okay, got it.
Because sometimes the North would be covered in dust and would appear to be gray. And that's how they would sneak up on the South. They would think they were allies, but then they would just be covered in dust.
See, that's smart.
It is.
I would be one of the people, like I told you guys in another podcast, I get the mob mentality. I would be killing so many of my own people. You know, it's called friendly fire. I know there's a name for this. But when in a situation where like that, where everybody just looks like normal people, I mean, I would be killing so many of my own. I would just be screaming and running around, just shooting indiscriminately at things.
I thought about that a lot last night while watching it. I was like, how do they know who to shoot? They're just running in the line of fire and everybody. And here's another thing. Negan needs to quit talking so much.
Did you hear his witty banter while gunshots are coming at him and he's being witty? I was like, I'm so sorry.
Wasn't it the cheesiest thing?
The cheesiest.
It's so cheese. I know.
You guys.
I threw a remote.
Yeah.
I did. I threw it.
He's like, look at her all coming at me, firing her gun.
Shut up, girl.
Just shut up, Negan. Shut up, Negan.
October, Anna, who knows?
You guys.
I may not even tune in October. I can't believe I'm even going to say that. But I may just have to move on. I don't know.
I just feel like I can't. Like, I've given them so much of my life that it's like, I'm just going to have to go down this crap hole with you guys. But, the fact that they're going to make us wait, they're going to lose so many people. Because it wasn't even like a good cliffhanger. It was the kind that just is awful.
It was horrible. Horrid.
Yeah.
And when is Maggie going to show?
I was telling Rob, I was like, can we just give her a fake pooch? Why is she skinnier than she was this first season? This is so stupid.
I know there are no chili cheese tots there for pregnant women. I know, but she should be showing something should be happening.
She's been pregnant in real time for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So, I mean, hello, this whole thing.
I just expected more, and I'm very disappointed. And it's starting to get it to boss baby caliber here.
Yeah, Rob really hates the trash people because he wants to know why they all talk that way. And I go, well, maybe they're all from a different country. And he's like, no, I don't think so.
They're Trekkies.
Yeah, they're like Trekkies. And I'm sure that it has something to do with the comic book, but it's just not translating to TV in a believable way. Rob was just like, oh my God, these characters are just not so believable. I was like, to be fair, we are watching a zombie apocalypse show. However, they are bringing us into a world, like what would happen if this actually happened to you? Like, how would you feel? Uh-huh. And don't throw in a bunch of weirdo, like Austrian weirdos that are, I mean, you know what I mean? What's going on here?
She said, I lay with him after.
Yeah. Why is she talking like that? And why are they dressed like that? And I just...
I'd like to hear her and Ezekiel have a conversation. I wouldn't know what was going on.
I tell you what.
You know?
Oh, yeah, so we watched it last night together, and we were both angry together. We both went to bed angry together, I guess.
Went to bed real mad, real mad.
Real mad. I tell you what, it was hard to recover my thoughts then. Mm-hmm. So anyway, listen, if you guys are Walking Deaders, you guys, I'm sure you guys are feeling our pain. There's a reason why they lost literally half of their people, of their viewership, because we just can't take this storyline, and you guys are, it's too slow.
It's so many bad things are happening.
Yeah.
I'm just really disappointed because I thought it was, they had better writers than this. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
So, last week's verse, one of my favorites, and it's one of my favorite topics. I could talk about it for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Can you read it for us? Do you have it in front of you?
I do have it. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he.
So how have you been meditating on this verse this week? And
I have meditated on it a little bit. I've had some different thoughts pop into my head that were just kind of garbagey, just mm-hmm. no good. And mm-hmm. I remembered that's no good. And so I just pushed it out really quick. Didn't dwell on it. Don't mm-hmm. dwell on that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find that you have a hard time with negative thoughts, or do you tend to be in the more positive, or what? I don't remember if we talked about this in the last episode. What's your kind of natural tendency?
My natural tendency is to be negative, I think, but I know so many negative people that I strive not to be that way because I know it's exhausting. So I just kind of push that away, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think we all tend to be negative, though. We all tend to think the worst so we aren't let down if, you know, something does happen.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I was just telling this group, I spoke today at a university. It was like a blogging social media speaker thing for college students. And right. One of the girls asked, she was like, I want to write about, she goes, who honestly wants to hear from a young white girl from the Midwest who loves hip hop? And I go, well, honestly, probably a lot of people. That's a pretty awesome little niche you want to get into. But
yeah.
She just goes, I mean, how do you even, you just write something and then nobody, I mean, then who reads it? It is so daunting to take the first step. And for us, we know how daunting it is to get into the blogger online stuff. Right. It's daunting no matter what it is. If you want to be a painter, okay, so mm-hmm. I paint, then what? How do I get anybody to care? It's mm-hmm. like, I'm telling you, you can talk yourself out of what God has in store for you just like that. And just be like, oh, it's impossible. There's no way I could do it. And then you just don't.
Yeah. And
one of the things that I think I talked about last time is that I was so lucky because it didn't occur to me when I started that I wouldn't make it. I don't know why. It was naivete for sure, but it didn't occur to me. Mm-hmm. I just thought, well, I'll just do it and I'll figure it out.
Right.
And so that if I were to look around and be like, I could never compete with some e-cards, or I could never compete with this, or there's no way I could ever do this, then you're just not going to start. And so, you can see people, I could see the budding writers and people in the audience, they get this look like, yeah, but I mean, I won't go viral, and going viral is what helped you. And you know, you just forget that there are so many little building blocks that mm-hmm. pile on top of each other. And some of them seem super meaningless.
Yes.
But they just keep building and building. And you know what really inspires me about you and what you've done is that you started really focused on your hometown, where mm-hmm. you did these little events. You know, you're like, I'm going to be at the super tiny pharmacy from 1 to 5, come see me. I mean, you did these little, you had no ego about it, mm-hmm. whether one person or 300 showed up to come see you at the little local tiny pharmacy. I mean, you did it and you went out there and there wasn't any, you weren't like, this is going to be a waste of my time. It was a, right. It was one of those little stepping stones that absolutely. You put down that puts the next stepping stone on top of it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And how quickly you could have talked yourself out of those little stepping stones that really helped create and support where you're at now, because you'd be like, well, I got better things to do than to show up at, you know, this little tiny gig where, you know, 10 people are going to be there. Big deal. That's not going to make a difference. It needs to be bigger and better. I mean, you respected it. You respected the process. You gave it your all, whether it was 1 or 100. And that's how we're supposed to approach everything, what you think you'll be. Yeah. So if you think to yourself, God made me a writer, I've got something to say, and I'm going to show up, and it's cool if it's 1 person or 100.
Yeah. That's and plus they gave me Dippin' Dots.
Exactly.
That's true. They did. They gave me Dippin' Dots. You're absolutely right. And then, you know, when I look back on thinking about these little writing contests that I would, you know, join, and I thought they were just meaningless. And then, you know, you're right. It's building blocks and stepping stones, and it's all leads up to something. So nothing is, you know, beneath you if you really want to do something.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like they say, there's, what do they say? There's no small parts, only small actors.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I heard that on a Golden Girls episode. It stuck with me, that one. That one stuck with
me. It's a good one. It's absolutely good.
I'll tell you another thing that I've heard. I heard this last week, which I've heard this before, but this really resonated with me. If it's important, you'll find a way. And if not, you'll find an excuse.
Yes.
So if, you know, these little bitty venues, if they're important for you, you know, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really desire to be a writer or whatever your craft is, you'll find a way to do it. And if not, you'll find an excuse. I think that's really, I didn't hear that on a Golden Girls episode, but it still is meaningful.
Well, I met another really wonderful writer today, and I talked to her, and she followed me in Hoot Ha's, and I go, you know what? Reach out to me. We can collaborate of some kind. I love your spunk and your energy. You know, maybe we can do something. And she goes, you know, I need to do that. She goes, I just don't. I'm just the worst because I just don't do these things. I don't have any hustle. I just don't. And a lot of people feel bad that they don't have hustle, but usually if you don't, it means that you're completely uninspired and it's probably mm-hmm. not the best for you anyway. You know,
that's
that something yeah. that you're doing right now is not quite lining up with what you ultimately want to do, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to be like me, you know, and be super obsessive. Mm-hmm. And she could be super obsessive if maybe she just needs to kind of think about and start writing about stuff that she cares about. So anyway, yeah. Absolutely. You can make a gazillion excuses if it's not that important to you. But you can also talk yourself out of it and just have a bunch of fear thoughts and do nothing. So,
yeah. I've done that as well. Yeah.
It's good.
We just get too much inside our head, don't we?
We do.
We just overanalyze everything and think and think and think. When sometimes you just need to just do what you know you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And think and live at the level and the place you want to be in. It's like dressing for the job you want, not for the job you have. So that's why I'm, you know, I'm like, so what does that mean about my jogging pants?
Writers can wear jogging pants.
Exactly. Well, see,
that's why I chose this job for the jogging pants. That's it.
Okay, so we're going to get into our next verse here in a minute that we're going to use for this week. But let us know what you guys thought about how this week was for you, changing your thoughts, going negative. You know, Rob and I had kind of a scary thing happened to us this week, and I can really unravel, like, oh my gosh, this could be really, 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 really bad. And I can really just go there with my thoughts and plummet down to it and start to worry and panic and then kind of be mean to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I remembered this verse, I meditated on it, and I said, it's okay. This is a warning. And now we've got our act together. And from here on out, we're just going to take care of it. And it's fine. And we're going to get it done. So, you know, it really helped me kind of get through a thought pattern where I could have just been super scared and for no reason. I mean, you know, have you ever just found yourself just really worrying about something that just never came to pass?
You know, that's what the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, okay. I love the verse we have for this week. Do you have it in front of you?
I do. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's pretty much summed up.
Oh, so good. We're gonna dive into this verse real quick right after we get back from this commercial break.
Hey guys, Anna here. With a 2-year-old and an infant, I think it's pretty obvious that I don't get any sleep these days. So it should be no surprise to you that having a mattress that also keeps me awake like a crying baby really grinds my gears. Enter Casper Mattresses. You guys really need to look Casper up. They're so cool. First, they sell directly to consumers, cutting out the middleman and giving us incredible prices. Second, they deliver it right to you. Shipping is free to US and Canada, and they deliver it in a small box that makes you like, how the heck did they do that? Anyway, for someone like me who's super picky about my mattress, Casper is right up my alley. They're designed, developed, and assembled right here in the U.S. and obsessively engineered at a shockingly fair price. They have that amazing memory foam I love to create an award-winning sleep surface. The sink and bounce on these puppies is just right. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. Casper has over 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars, making them soon to be the internet's favorite mattress. So here's what we're going to do. With the special code I'm about to give you, we're all going to try Casper for 100 nights, risk-free, in our own home. If we don't love it, we'll have them pick up the mattress and give us all full refunds. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. So, to get our $50 off toward any mattress, we're going to visit www.casper.com/asshow. That's www.casper.com/A as in Anna, S as in Susanna, show, and use promo code ASSHOW. Let me know how much you love it.
Okay, so say the verse for us one more time.
Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us?
This is so good. Mm-hmm. This is such a good
so
verse.
So comforting.
Yeah, and it's such a good verse when we talked about the crappy friends episode too.
Yes.
You know, when you feel betrayed or that people are out to get you. And tell me how has this verse applied to your life?
Well, you know, I think especially since my platforms have grown a lot, you get a lot of bad seeds for, you know, bad apples coming in and discovering who you are. But especially I've noticed, you know, and the Bible says that we'll be persecuted for spreading the gospel. And so I've noticed that, you know, as my blogging and writing has kind of taken a turn towards my faith, that I will have people who attack me for that. Mm-hmm. And I expected that. And the Lord says, we're going to have that. You know, that's just the way of the world. But sometimes I'll get so caught up and, you know, these people just berating me and saying these horrible things about me that I go to that scripture. And what a comfort it is to know that, you know, it doesn't matter that these people are against me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who on this temporary earth is opposing me. If God is for me, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of my favorite scriptures. It's just so comforting and you just get so much peace. Sometimes I'll just say it over and over when I feel like someone's, you know, done me wrong or someone is so opposed to me. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really sweet, comforting promise.
Yes. You know, it really reminded me of someone that I'm very close to, had a small business and they had an assistant. And this assistant wanted more money. And when they were unable to pay them that money, the assistant quit, but they were quitting because they thought that they were irreplaceable and that would cause them to get the raise. And it's not that they, and trust me, the person was getting very well paid. Yeah. And when that person quit, they just said, okay, well, I love you, goodbye. And then they hired someone else almost right away who just happened to fall into their lap. Mm-hmm. And the fallout that assistant then took and said horrific things about this person because they didn't believe that they would get replaced so fast. And they even said that, like, oh my God, you have somebody already? Like, you know, I didn't think you were going to actually let me go. She was using that as a bargaining chip.
Right.
She went out and they have this business has private groups in it that people get in their information or get help from. And she went into that group and said horrific things about this business owner. And people that took sides in this group and then were going live saying the most god-awful, makes you want to cry, cringe stuff about the business owner.
Messy. Just messy.
Yeah. Horrible. And the business owner didn't say anything. They were above board, but it was devastating because the lies that she was saying about her were so horrific that you just thought, oh my gosh, this person needed to be in a loony bin, let alone freaking, how are they in this world? You know, and then you go to her Twitter account and of course it says, mama for Jesus lover, you know, you just want to be like, Jesus lover, take that off. You're wicked, you know. Yeah. And it just kept coming and coming where she would then go into forums for this particular product that they're selling and would say horrific things about her. And then they started to create fake aliases say and horrible things about their product on social media.
Oh, gosh. Then who puts that much energy into
that? I mean,
what a waste.
I know. It's unbelievable. So she would go on and say, they noticed that they were tagged on something and this person with this fake alias and her husband was able to figure out by their IP address or something that it was the same person. I don't know how he figured it out, but she would go on there and say, so-and-so from this is stealing your artwork. And the person would be like, oh, you know, that's just a part of being on the web is your stuff gets stolen. And it was a total lie. It was crazy. They would make fake Facebook accounts to get into the private groups just to spy and to see what's going on. It was just horrible. And it's traumatic. And I would say this verse to them, you know, like, listen, your enemies will be your stepping stone. Just trust me that this is, if God is for you, they can't be against you. If God has put this purpose in your life and this is who you are and who you're supposed to be, then this is traumatic. Trust, it is. It's hurtful, traumatic, scary. You know, what if these people ruin me? But God is for you. This is what he's put into your life and you'll rise above it.
Right. And I was going to read, I had a note in my Bible about this verse I was going to read. That just piggybacks what you just said. It says, most of us to some extent need to be delivered from the fear of people and from caring too much about what others think of us. People who always need the approval of others desperately want everyone to look at them from head to toe and say perfect. When they do any kind of job, they want everybody to say perfect in everything they do, every action they take, every word they say. They want people to say they are perfect. But if we try to be perfect, we will be disappointed. It will not work because you and I are imperfect human beings. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Even if we could manifest perfection, some people would still not be satisfied simply because they are unhappy individuals who will never be content with anything until they change their own attitudes. I think we both know plenty of people like that. Mm-hmm. But we need to be confident that God accepts us with our imperfections. Even though he continues to work in us to make us more Christ-like, we do not have to struggle to win his approval or the approval of others. If God is for us, and he definitely is, we do not need to fear anyone who is against us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a great word. Just like the story you were just telling. I mean, I couldn't imagine having that much, you know, opposition.
Vitriol, opposition. Yes.
You know, and you would just have to keep meditating on that, you know, that these people will, you know, get what they deserve in some way.
And well, when I would talk to her, she was really focused on the word just to get through it. And she seemed very positive, but it was coming out in nightmares. Like one time she had a nightmare that someone broke into her house and raped her. And it was coming because she felt violated. These people were coming into her baby, this thing that she built, and they were violating it with lies and all, you know, and it was just this one, because this assistant ended up kind of being the face of the brand. You know how you can see how that would happen. If you had someone running your social media, people would then go to that. They would ask questions to your assistant, you know, so that, so the people became, some people became close with her and then believed everything she said. And so that's kind of how everyone's, and only the most mentally unwell people did that. Mm-hmm. Most people are like, God, this is weird. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
but you know, they can do a lot of damage. So, I remember she would have these dreams and have to get out through it, but it was a really good time for spiritual growth too, to really just depend on God through that whole wave.
Right.
Right.
It reminds me of, and you, we were friends through this. You remember, it was about a week before my mother passed away. I had made a video about how men don't know how to load a dishwasher.
Yes.
And I had been accused by this other person of copying her video. I never saw her video. I asked you to watch it and you said that they were very similar, but, you know, I had never seen
similar in premise. Yours was similar hysterical. In premise. Yeah.
Similar in premise. But the author of the original video, I reached out to her after people started calling me a copycat and calling me really horrible names and, you know, saying, well, hers is so much better than yours. And why can't you get your own material? And so I thought I would do the good Christian thing. And you remember I reached out to her and I can't even remember her name now. I reached out to her and said, you know, I'm sorry about this, but really I didn't copy your video. And, you know, if you would just, you know, let your fans know, because she had posted on her page for people, she had instructed her fans to come to my page and curse me pretty much.
Yeah.
She had said, this person copied me, go let her know how you feel. And I had these countless messages coming in. And I was really, that was really my first experience with being bullied, I guess. I guess bullied is the right word.
Right.
Bullied on social media. And that was before my page had really grown. But it was just a really ugly, ugly ordeal. And, you know, I remember talking to my mama about it. And that was like a week before she died. And I had talked to her about it. And she was like, you know what? No weapon formed against you will prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I can't remember where that's found in the Bible, but she prayed that over me a lot. I had a bullying issue in middle school and I remember her praying that scripture a lot. And so she prayed it again and she's like, you know, this is just bullying. No weapon formed against you will prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that, because that girl, whoever she was, I don't remember her name, was so nasty and so, you know, just negative and just going about it in such an evil way. And getting so upset about it. And people are like, oh, well, you know, your video's only been seen 3,000 times and hers has been seen 1,000,000. And so this is going to sound ugly, but I remember when my first day of school video had like 49 million views.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I would really like to look her up and say, who's got 1,000,000 now?
Suck on that, lady. Yeah.
But I did it. But the point is that I, you know, kept my composure. I could have lashed out at her and been just as ugly as she was. But I think God kept me from doing that. And the Lord just kind of took care of it on his own and said, look, if I'm for you, who cares if this person's against you? I'll work this out.
Yeah.
I will work this out. And he did. He worked it out.
Well, I've said in other podcasts, I love justice. I love swift, quick karma.
Yeah,
not sure. Towards myself, of course.
No.
But I love swift justice, karma. I love to really stick it to you. So I'm real fun in an argument, because everyone that I'm really close to is like, oh, I didn't know I was under the court of law, because I will really remember exactly what you said and then use it against you to show how superior I am and how wrong you are. You know, I love justice. So it is very hard for me, because that really nasty, sinful nature that has no grace.
No grace. Yeah.
Just is right and will prove to you how right I am on a Excel spreadsheet or a PowerPoint presentation. Like, I would love, in an argument, if I had a PowerPoint presentation to show you how right I am and how wrong you are. I mean, listen.
Pie graphs and pie charts.
Dim the lights, project it on the wall. Let's do this. I mean, I would do it. So it is so hard for me not to kind of do those kinds of things. And it reminds me of what your mom said to you. My mom said to me, when the fart story went viral, it got stolen constantly. And it was, I even had someone send it to me in an email, because it went viral through email even back then, you know, and someone sent it to me and like, oh, I thought you'd really like this. And I go, I wrote it. And so, and she's like, really?
I do like it. Yeah.
Someone took our names out, because in there it says Anna and Rob, and they put some other name, but everything was word for word. Oh, and so it was going viral. I was getting stolen like that. And someone else stole it, and people would defend me, and they would say that, you know, you need to credit the writer. And then people would attack me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was falling apart, because I thought that this was this huge blessing that was going to help my writing career. And now it turns out that it's being stolen from me, and people are taking it from me, and people are putting their own name on it. One girl said she wrote it and she got on the Elvis Duran show, which is, you know, kind of like a Howard Stern super famous dude. And they read it and they credited this other chick. And I just thought, I'm losing everything, you know? And my mom was like, honey, what God has for you, no one can take away. So just calm, you know, just calm down. And so I had this, admittedly, a little crudy card where I said that basically I'm my toddler's snack biatch. And someone took it word for word, put it on a t-shirt, and then it went viral. It went fairly viral with me, lots and lots and lots of shares, but it went mega viral for her because it got picked up by Unilad and all of these huge websites. And someone, my friends kept tagging me and tagging me and tagging me, showing me how it's getting stolen. And I just said, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Like, my whole career is not off of this snack biatch joke. It's really not, you know, and if she took it and she made a lot of money, maybe she needed it. God bless her. I don't, you know, and then the woman ended up reaching out to me and she's like, oh my gosh. Great minds. Ha 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 ha. I go, No. It was so exact that there's no way. You might have thought of snack biatch, but you didn't think of the first part exactly. No. And so she goes, well, okay, I'll be honest. My friend told me the joke and I thought she made it up. And I go, okay, well.
Do you remember when I came up with the Pikachu joke during when Pokemon Go was so big and the guy stole it from me and I reached out to him and said, no, that's my joke. And he's like, no, my friend told me that joke. No. At first he said, great minds think alike. And he had, it was word for word. It even had a dash in the same place.
Exactly.
And then he said, no, my friend told me that. I thought he made it. I mean, you're caught.
You're caught.
Come on.
It's bad. And then she goes, then she reached out and she started to really butter me up. And she goes, oh my God, I just checked out your website. Where have you been all my life? You're so funny and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, thanks, you know, blah. And then she wrote back and she goes, hey, do you think you would mind like sharing the shirt on your platform? Because actually we're making so much money off of it. We're donating proceeds. I was like, I just wrote her back and I was like, sister, listen, you got a lot of balls. You're making money off of my joke and you want me to share it so you can make more money? Are you insane? I was like, just take my shirt. I'm not going to sue you and just be glad. And if you're giving it to charity, then great. But don't, I mean, let's not press our luck. Oh, it was weird.
It's so hard not to be catty. I think for you and me both, because I think that we are blessed with quick wit and we always have a good comeback. Yes. A mic drop moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're done, and then you leave, and you've let them know, I'm cool, but I got you. I got your number dialed. Like, I got to let them know that I got their number dialed. And it's amazing that number one takes a lot of energy. Just today, we have a group, a neighborhood Facebook group, as a lot of people do. And you know how that can get really hilarious and weird, especially if people get pissed in it. Oh, it's so good.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, there's been some new construction on the highway by our neighborhood, and the thing about this thing is that you're supposed to stay in both lanes and only merge at the merging point and then take turns. That's how you get it to go fast. Of course, nobody does it. Everyone stays in the one lane. It's backed up forever. And then everybody who's in the other lane gets honked at and gets the middle finger, even though they're doing exactly what the signs say to do.
Right.
So this guy rants. He must have been in traffic. He's like, backed up traffic. Somebody in the neighborhood who drives a white Kia driving in the next lane. I don't know if you must feel like you're better than everybody else, but you almost caused an accident. And I go, okay, number one, he should have listened to last week's podcast because his thoughts are clearly, he's really submitting to the negative thoughts much so that he's going to hop into the neighborhood Facebook group and let us all have it.
Right, right.
But then someone kind of responded and they go, well, to be fair, they're doing exactly what the signs tell them to do. And then he got real pissed because that kind of probably nicked his ego a little bit and made a nasty comment back and said, no, if everybody's in one line, you're just being a jerk. And then I had this like hilarious, witty, but really shut him down comment. And I was typing it halfway out and I go, Anna, what are you doing? Dear Lord, maybe you should be having your quiet time right now instead of using these blissful morning hours before the girls awake to let this old neighborhood guy have it. You know what I mean?
Oh, but it feels so good.
It feels so good.
He's so wrong.
Anyway, it's just we can get ourselves where we need justice for the smallest of slights.
Yeah.
And we need it. And it doesn't mean that you're a pushover by any stretch. Of course, you should stand up for yourself if you're being wronged. But it's the constant worry that they've taken everything from you or they're going to take everything from you. It's the the constant fear and worry and then anger and getting so wrapped up to it and stupid to those people's levels that takes your own life away. And God will take care of it. Do the right thing. Be courageous and confident. But when you're, you've got BD, I mean, I remember for my friend, I even considered creating an alias so that I could comment to these that chick's comments and be like, you're a liar. I wanted to be like, you're a liar. You didn't steal anything. But I didn't want to use my own name because I didn't want to be Googled and I didn't want her to turn on hoo-haws. know what I mean? So I wanted to make a fake name just like she did. And I wanted to tell her that you're a liar. We know exactly who you are. This is your name. You're frightening. I mean, I just really wanted to let her have it privately. And I go, no. First of all, this isn't my battle. Yeah. Second of all, this woman is charting her own course on her own. Mm-hmm. You taking the time to make a fake Facebook account to let her have it is not necessary. Just step away.
Do you ever, I do this sometimes when I'm like really angry with somebody, I'll just go stand in the mirror and say what I'd like to say to him because I know I'm not going to really say it.
Yes. You know,
I don't like confrontation, but I like have this whole made up conversation in the bathroom with like, you know, you trifling and and then I feel better.
It works.
And then when I see her at Target, I'm like, hey girl, how you doing?
It really works to kind of get that stuff up and out.
Yeah.
And then just be done with it. So,
because really telling her it's just going to cause more problems for, you know, it's not going to cause any good. Nothing good and fruitful is going to come from it. So just let the Lord handle it. Let him handle it.
Yeah. Most of the time, nothing good is going to come out of it other than you just really want to prove someone else wrong and show that you're right. And it is such an emotional time suck. And the comment sections, the internet has really done this to us where we're just exposed to what we consider to be injustices constantly.
Overload. Yeah.
And, you know, when I have friends or fans defend me online and get into these battles for me, there's a part of me that appreciates it because that way there's just not this negative stuff about you in some feed. But at the same time, it's like, guys, don't waste your energy because all you're doing is actually bringing more attention to me. You have now, by defending me, you have now sent them to me directly. You know, if we all just, If we all just make dinner and move on with our lives, it'll be over by 7 p.m. You know, the feed, the post will be gone in everyone's feed. It will be forgotten. So don't worry, you know.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
Fueling fires.
Exactly. And so I always think about this for relationships. I have another friend who they were in had a tumultuous relationship and it has been repaired, but there was never an apology and it's still leaving things raw, you know? And I just think that those things can really fester. But if we can just give that to God and just hand it over and just say, you know, I know you're for me. I know you love me. I know that you see this and I know that you see that I'm hurt. And just show me what to do this the right way and to make this, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like the only thing we have to be sane. Otherwise, we would all just slip into the abyss, wouldn't we? These little mental things that we go through every day can just be so hard, especially if we let our thoughts dwell on them. I mean, I've totally had like fights, private fights, like I'm taking a shower and I'm just like really letting somebody have it. And then you let it go, you know, but it that's one way to do it. Or you can just really let it fester and just think about how much this person owes you an apology or how much this person was wrong or how much, and it can take so much joy out of your own life that it really is to our benefit to forgive people. It really is for you and not for them.
That's what I was about to say. When you forgive someone, it's for you, not for them, not for them. You're right. And we make things so hard. It's so easy to let that go. And God doesn't intend for us to have these hard lives and to let these things fester and build up walls and make us rigid and hard-hearted. He doesn't intend for us to do that. It's so simple. His plan is so simple. You just let it go. Let go and give it to me.
Yeah.
But we're too hard-headed to do that and too stubborn to do that. We want to fix it on our own and get what's ours and have the last word. And that it just never fares well. Not for me. It never fares well for me.
And that's one of the things, if we remember this too, by so many people, whatever you want to do with your life, whether you want to be a painter or do crafts or whatever, so many people don't try because they are afraid of, especially now seeing trolls and bullies, of the criticism or the backlash or what you have, you know, experienced, especially now having so many more eyes on you. They're so afraid of that they won't even start. And so then you don't get to fully realize your purpose or your gifts because you're so afraid of what other people think, what other people are going to do, how other people are going to hurt your feelings. And if we can just meditate, if God is for me, who can possibly be against me? Then you can put those people in their rightful place, which is unimportant. You know what I mean? to you and to what you're trying to do, you know?
Trivial. Yes. Yeah.
They're not,
let me put you in the unimportant tab real quick.
Yeah. Just put them,
bye-bye.
Just mentally put them, like start a little folder on your desktop that says unimportant and just mentally just click those people right into that folder.
Or really type their names and actually put them in that folder.
Yeah. Make a sheet, type their name out and be like, you're unimportant. You're unimportant.
You mean nothing to me. Nothing.
And you start to realize that as time goes on, you do start to notice how unimportant their horrible, mean opinion really was. And you know what really burns is knowing that God loves them and cherishes them just as much as you.
Absolutely, he does. Yeah, he does. That's why he's God. That's why I'm not God.
Yeah, I know. And that's why grace is such an important thing to practice.
Yes.
Because it is extended on us all of the time, you know?
Yeah, we can't even, I can't comprehend the grace that the Lord is, I'm so undeserving, so undeserving, you know? I may not be cussing people out on the internet, but I have a million other sins of my own, and I'm just undeserving of his grace, for sure. Yeah,
I know, yeah. I know. You know who gets the brunt of it is usually like our spouses. You know,
always.
Of the sass and the The heat and the frustration and the stress. It's like my husband comes in and I'm just throwing a baby at him and like, she wouldn't take her second nap and, you know, run upstairs. And I have had to take a crap for the past 2 hours. See ya.
That'll make you mean. That'll make you mean in itself. Holding in crap for 2 hours. That'll turn anybody rigid, won't it?
Well, then that, you just bring them in with you. You're like, well, everybody come on in.
Well, party. Party.
I've lost my sense of integrity. And, okay. Yeah. What a good verse. Listen, if you're feeling fearful, don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. Because God's for you. Who can be against you? I can't even be against you. Because God's for you.
That's true. That's true.
So, and you know, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was, but you just said it.
What was it? Remind me. What did I just say?
If God is for you, he can be against you. Even I can't be against you.
Yeah. So for this week, be meditating on that, that verse. Yeah.
You'll have opposition. We're all going to have opposition. And when somebody just does you dirty, just remember that and find the peace. There's great peace to be found in that.
And can I just tell you guys a quick story? So I had a really stressful day the other day because I had to MC this baby event. And afterwards, I needed to pick some stuff up from Sam's, which is like another version of Costco. And I pre-ordered it the night before. So they don't deliver to your house, but you can just pick it up. And I had Poppy with me, and my back was going out. So my back was really hurting. I don't know why. And so I rolled up to the pickup, and all the doors were shut, which really irritated me because I had to take the baby with me in, you know, those 500-pound baby carriers.
Yes.
with my back almost out. So I go in and I put the carrier down and I tell her my order and she goes, gosh, you're not in here. And did you get like a confirmation email? I go, honestly, I've had the busiest day. I didn't even look if I got a confirmation email, but this is after the time I said I would pick it up. And she goes, oh gosh, I'm so sorry, but it's not in here. Well, I'm already at the store and there were certain things I had to have. So I put the baby in the cart and I went zooming around trying to pick everything up. And then Poppy just was fussy. That just constant whining noise, which will just send you to the moon. Yeah, it just causes you to unravel like a loose string. You're just like, oh, forget it. So I'm going to the store. I'm loading. You know, it's Sam. So everything's like 500 pounds, a huge box of water. You know, I'm loading everything into the car. The baby's still whining. Yes. So, and I've had this huge day all day. This is the last thing I want to spend my Sunday on. And I call my husband on the way home. I go, well, I'm on my way home. And guess what? They didn't have our freaking order ready. And he's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And I go, I am so close to becoming unglued. The baby's crying in the back seat. I was just losing it. But the thing that stopped me from losing it was I tried to remember the verse about my thoughts. And I was just like,
yeah.
It's okay. You'll get through it. I'm either going to drive this way home angry and bitter and mad, or I can just let it go and just be happy.
Yeah.
So I decide to go that route and I decide to just let it go. We're done now. I've got the heating, the car heater on my back trying to help that out. I pull up and Rob goes, hey, I just want you to know I called Sam's and I kind of let them have it and they're going to give us a gift card. And so we're all good. And I go, oh, I hope you weren't too mean. He goes, I wasn't mean, but you know, Anna, that's crap. This is supposed to be a convenience. And it ended up being this monster convenience and your back is out. I go, okay, thank you. So I see that the computer is open. Like he Googled the Sam's. Okay. Well, first of all, he called the wrong one. Okay. It was like a Sam's in another town. Okay.
Some poor guy named Davey or something.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah. Then I went up to my computer, Susanna, later that evening.
Yeah.
I never clicked place order.
Anna!
But what if I had let her have... Now listen, my husband's got to deal with his own. I was like, call him back and apologize. That's not my problem. But I was so wanting to be nasty to her.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's why it's important to control your thoughts, because you can be wrong.
Yes. You can believe you're 1,000% right and be completely 1,000% wrong. When I think I'm right, I know I'm right. I know I'm right.
Yes.
And then when I find out I'm wrong, boy, that just does something.
You
to
almost
pride.
Lose your identity.
Because
you're like, how could I have been so wrong? Because I could have sworn that I did get a confirmation email, because I put my computer code in and everything, and I knew I got the thank you for your order one. I just didn't know that I had. I was like, oh yeah. I got the one that you charged my card already. And then she was like, well, if you don't sign for it, it'll disappear in 24 hours. And I was like, okay, well, fine. But what if I had lost it on her?
Right. You'd be calling Sam's and taking somebody named Kelly out to lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, sometimes you're not right. And, they are mailing us this gift card. So now I told Rob, I was like, I think we should just give it back. I mean, I don't even feel right using it. This whole thing is just a debacle.
A charity.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a good thing to do. They probably wouldn't even accept it anyway. So, well, maybe they would. Who knows? But anyway, just a lesson learned, guys. Sometimes you're wrong, which is another reason why you just got to control your thoughts.
That's right.
Control your reactions. Mm-hmm. Keep calm. And, sometimes you don't press place order, and I think that's a metaphor for our life somehow.
That's another good book.
Yes. Sometimes you just don't press place order by Anna Lynn Thomas.
Wow, so many good life lessons in that story right there. I'm glad it was you and not me.
Especially how it continued on to my husband being wrong. He was even the wrong Sam's.
Two wrongs make a lot of wrongs.
Two wrongs made so many wrongs. And anyway, so you guys, listen, thank you so much for hanging out with Anna and Susanna, or us today, the ladies, the girls. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Please continue to go to our Facebook page, The Anna and Susanna Show, and communicate with us there. We do get a lot of messages, so if you have messaged us, we do go in and see them as much as we can, but we have a hard time replying back to all of them. And, but keep messaging us, commenting. We love seeing that you guys are enjoying the show. You can follow me on Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's by Anna Lynn Thomas, my Facebook page. I am also doing some Insta stories on my Instagram, which right now is under Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's. So go hang out with me over there. I also go live every Wednesday, funny story of my life, hashtag, FSOML. I always have to take a long time to spell that out.
Funny story of my, yeah.
Yes, F-S-O-M-L. I got it. Yeah, I go live every Wednesday, 8:00. We have a ton of fun. I've had the most hilarious episodes. I mean, it's just a total blast. So come hang out, bring something to drink, and let's have a party. Susanna, of course, you can find her at Woe Susanna. Those are all of your platforms, pretty much. Just Google it. You'll find her. You're on Instagram, too, right? Mm-hmm. You're on Instagram, Facebook.
Yep, Mareware. Mareware.
Susanna goes live every Thursday at what time, Susanna?
1 Central Standard Time.
1 Central Standard Time. So go. It's Woe Susanna Live, which I love that name. Just feels like it was like meant to be.
It's real creative, isn't it?
Like, you need your own variety show called Woe Susanna Live.
Hashtag WSL. Is that right?
yeah, exactly. So come hang out with us, you guys. We'd love to see you. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. All right. Bye.